All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast. Myself, Jeremy Moss, Matt Kennerly. MWWire.com is where you can read our stuff, download the podcast, or tune in, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. And do we need to make an episode list for this, Matt, or do we just say, we just keep going as normal? Because it's episode two, officially, of off-season.
Nah, I don't think anybody cares about numbers. I think they just care about content, quality content.
Yeah, quality. That's the key word, quality, which, meh. We're pretty good, I think.
I think so. I hope so.
No, people listen. People like us. People tell us when they don't like us, so that's always great to hear, correct?
That's true.
And being off-season shows, we will, like I said, do our best. We will have some banter because inevitably there will be some food talk, some random bracket talk, maybe some music talk because we do all sorts of random stuff in the off-season because we're here for you, right?
There's a lot of time to fill.
We'll have some fun topics. We'll have some classics we've done before, some new stuff. But this week, not that we're behind at all because we've did earlier stuff before looking ahead. But what we're doing now is looking back. Momentarily, after we get through our opening bit here, I guess, talk, we're going to talk about all the picks we missed. And you can laugh at us and say, ha, you guys know nothing. Which we will. I'll try to peg you down, Matt, of who's your early 2-win team to go to win a bowl game or go to 10 victories?
Oh, are you looking for an answer right
no,
now?
No, not now. We will later. We'll briefly discuss about that.
Okay, all right.
But we will have, I think our next show, we'll see, might be like our stupid early look ahead.
Okay.
Just because why not? So first, let's start with this. You brought this up because you bring some good ideas most of the time. Coordinator talk, because coordinators are going left and right.
Well, and it was largely because we talked a little bit about some of the off-season moves that have been made in our last podcast. And then, of course, as things happen, usually most of the time, there was another move that happened, I think, a few hours after we recorded. And that was Scotty Hazleton moving from Wyoming to Kansas State.
That's a big deal. Huge.
So why do you think that is?
Well, why was Wyoming good the past couple of years? Why did they become bowl eligible this year? I know they had Nico Evans, very good player, running back, but it's that consistent defense the past couple of years.
Yeah, and to kind of echo that point, even if they weren't quite as dominant week in and week out as they were in 2017, I think it's worth looking at the growth that they had. Because in the year before Hazleton showed up in Laramie, by defensive S&P Plus, they ranked 96th in the country. And then all of a sudden in that 2017 season, they jumped all the way to 7th. And, you know, even though it was a little bit rough in non-conference play, they buckled down. And when you look back at the whole picture, you know, thinking about 2018, they were still 44th overall by defensive S&P Plus last year. And they didn't give up more than 30 points to anybody in conference play except for Boise. You know, they struggled on offense to keep up with, you know, especially the better teams in the conference, like Fresno State, they really struggled against. Utah State, they really struggled to move the ball against, but they were able to keep that to a one-score game too. So I think I'm with you, and especially when you consider not only Hazleton leaving, but the fact that they're losing so much on that side of the ball. Obviously, figuring out who's going to replace him is going to be one of the bigger questions of the offseason, and I'm assuming they'll have an answer sooner rather than later. But they're losing a lot at every level. And yeah, so finding a way to reload and try to approach at least a national average level on defense is going to be a very big task for the Cowboys going forward.
It will be. And he came at the right time, too, because you've got to give him a ton of credits. But also, I remember when we were podcasting years before, that Wyoming defense for came, like you mentioned, S&P Plus, dreadful. But all those guys on that team in 2016 are still there now, or guys graduating. So it's twofold. I always say, thing of experience, okay, we are skeptical how good are they going to be because they're so bad. The experience helped out, but you add that to coaching and players just getting reps, and it's huge. And hopefully, because right now we're doing this recorded Sunday afternoon, we're probably going to publish this up midweek Wednesday, so maybe something will happen to that coordinator spot, but he is a huge deal. It's like he had all these guys there. There's still some guys like Logan Wilson. He's back next year. But these guys like Carl Granderson, who's at the Senior Bowl. You lose Andrew Wingard is gone as well. A couple guys who've been around. He's like you said, they're losing a lot. And to be average, maybe, because they saw some guys coming back. It's just not going to be. They're losing. Like on this team, I remember the New Mexico State game. I'm pretty sure it was obloviating because it's week zero. They're talking about, like, there'll be 9 guys on this Wyoming defense in the NFL Monday. Like, well, maybe not, but there could be 4 to 6, right?
I mean, I definitely think so, yeah.
But between this year and next year, I'm not sure the year after, like, younger guys, but there could be at least half a dozen on an NFL roster, and they need a defensive coach who could keep that going. And we'll see who it is. I don't know if they're going to promote from within. It's a awkward time to lose a coach just because you got the next signing day coming up in about, what, a week and a half. There might be some other movement there, especially when the NFL season is still basically done. Super Bowl is coming up. There might be a little bit of movement, but I don't know. I'm not sure what they'll do. And so it's going to be something to see. But then again, if Hazleton on staff, all the guys beneath him, there's going to be somebody who's going to probably be candidate on staff. And that seems the most likely scenario.
Well, I mean, I think if you're looking for upside, just thinking about the immediate future, Wyoming, you know, you mentioned some of the more veteran pieces coming back, like Logan Wilson, but they also have some young guys who played their way into the, you know, fairly prominent defensive roles by the end of last season, and those guys are coming back. I'm thinking about guys, for instance, like Keon Blankenbaker, who was starting at corner opposite Antonio Hole by the end of the year, or Garrett Kroll, who's going to, you know, he has 2 years of experience under his belt, and he's probably going to have a bigger role with Carl Granderson departing. So obviously, yeah, they're losing a lot of experience, but I think that if you look at the pieces that they've recruited in the last few years, it's not without some talent being left in Laramie for whoever ends up taking over that job.
Yeah, they're basically bringing back 6.5 starters because you saw, I could never get his name, Yusuf.
Yuhana Gaifan?
Yuhana, I don't know where I get the S in there. Yuhana Gaifan missed the last couple of games. I'm looking at their final depth chart from their regular season finale. 7 guys who started that game will be back. And I say 6.5 because he missed a couple games. And so somebody's stepping in. So they bring over about half their defense will be back. But you're losing, like you mentioned, guys like Wingard, NFL. Marcus Epps, who's been underrated, I think will probably get a shot in the NFL. There'll be plenty of guys. Like Wilson will be, like, he seriously could be a consideration for Defensive Player of the Year going to 2019, Logan Wilson.
Absolutely.
And they have a lot of guys, like Granderson's gone. Like, they'll be fine. And then, but it's just a, whew. They have a good starting point, whoever comes in. That's the, and I will say this, outside of like the head coaching, lose, like with Matt Wells going to Texas Tech and taking Yost with him, this is the biggest loss that wasn't directly tied to taking a head coaching job or going tagged along with somebody else.
Well, that was going to be my next question. When you look back at the offseason thus far, you know, now you're up to 5 different coordinators moving on to different roles. Kalen DeBoer from Fresno State to Indiana, Hazleton moving to Kansas State, you know, both of the coordinators for Utah State, Yost, and Keith Patterson moving to Texas Tech. And now I'm blanking on the last one.
Oh, shoot. is it only 4?
Oh, no. Calvin McGee moving to
New Mexico,
Ole Miss.
Yeah. Yeah, New Mexico losing their guy.
So you're saying that Hazleton is the most significant loss?
Him or with Fresno State? Those are the top 2 easily.
Because if you had to choose one, who would it be?
Whew. I would say Hazleton because, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong of me to say this, but I think it's more Jeff Tedford helping the offense and Fresno being better overall. Is that fair to say?
I think it's fair to say.
So that's why I give it's a big head coaching thing, but Hazleton, because here's the thing, both units, if you look who was bad earlier, like during the past couple of years, Wyoming's unit on defense was worse than what Fresno State was on offense.
Mm-hmm.
And so he brought them up from worst of the worst to honestly top 20 team in the country. Half these guys will be in the NFL. And you look at Fresno's offense, great things. Keyshawn Johnson, you have with they find Marcus McMarion and bring him in to do well. They bring Jared Rice, tight end, do well. But I would say the bigger loss is Wyoming's defense because Wyoming's offense is so terrible, and that unit has to be elite to keep them in games.
Well, I mean, I think I would tend to agree, but maybe for the reason that, and maybe it ties into recruiting, which we haven't really talked a lot about, but I think it's fair to say, and maybe I'm borrowing a phrase from Bill Connolly, but hard jobs remain hard.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair to say that getting people and sustaining success in Wyoming is more difficult than it is in a place like Utah State or Fresno State, fairly or unfairly. So when's the last time that, I mean, without looking it up, I don't have all the tabs in front of me, but I think it would be very, very difficult for Wyoming, even with all the pieces coming back, for them to have a top 50 defense next year by S&P Plus. When was the last time they had back-to-back years where they were in the top 50 on defense? I don't know if that's ever happened.
Defensively, I don't know, because they've been known more kind of offense, like going back to Brett Smith and years before, like when Dave Christensen was there for a little bit, Joe Glenn, they've been more passing the ball a little bit. They're not really known for a defensive team. But I 3 years in a row, that'll be tough. But here's the thing, with half those guys coming back, they'll still probably be on par with or close in the same neighborhood as, and this is brand, so some order on, thrown off the top of my head for who's coming back, but Boise's defense will be really good. Utah State's will be really good with all those guys coming back. Even Fresno State losing a couple guys, they'll still be really good. So they'll be a top, I'd say top fourth in the conference. But as for nationally, they might be, Wyoming might be the bottom part of that, but they're still going to be really good.
Okay, so I answered my own question just because I was curious. If you go by defensive S&P Plus ratings, they were in the top 50 in back-to-back years in both 2006 and 2007.
Was that Joe Glenn years? Who was their head coach then?
I don't know that off the top of my
That's
head.
okay. I don't remember when he left or not, but okay. That's been done a couple times.
Yeah.
So your official answer is it still Hazleton?
I think so, yeah.
And was this a good move for him to make, you think, to go to Kansas State?
I think so, because I think that the expectations in Manhattan are relatively low, all things considered. And that, they're going into this new era post Bill Snyder, where I've been assuming that the new staff coming in, not only Hazleton, but Dan Klieman, the new head coach, are going to have some time to figure it out. Like, I don't think anybody's coming out and expecting the Wildcats to set the Big 12 on fire next year. But I
No.
don't think there's any doubt that, like we talked about with DeVore moving to Indiana, now all of a sudden he's going to have to deal with the likes of Oklahoma and Texas every year. And that's a hard job for anybody.
Yeah. And Klieman, he brings him over because obviously connection to North Dakota State with the Craig Bowles. So that makes sense to go around and bring in Chris Klieman and bring that guy over. So I will say it's fine. It's a difficult job to replace. It is a big step up. He'll play. Like this year, he played some pretty good offense at Utah State, who held them pretty well. They played a Hawaii team that was moving the ball pretty good, but nothing, like I said, nothing like Texas, Oklahoma, or even what Texas Tech will do, or even TCU at times with the or Baylor and stuff like that. It's more consistent. Instead of playing like three or four really good offenses, they're probably playing 10, 8 to 10.
Well, the upside is they get to play Kansas every year.
Okay, that's a victory, obviously. Beat up on Les Miles. Go for it. So yeah, it's a fine move. They won to Indiana, still a little interesting, but what do you want to see with Fresno? Who do you want their OC to be, or what kind of person do you want to take that job?
Well, I mean, I think I mentioned it last time. I don't know that there's been any official word yet, but I think the expectation among some parts of the fan base is they'll just promote Ryan Grubb because he was the run game coordinator in addition to being the offensive line coordinator last year. And considering that the Bulldogs just hired yesterday a new, from what I saw from the headline on Twitter, a new offensive line coach from Idaho State. I'm trying to remember his name, Ryan Sipolu, I think his name is. But if he's coming in to coach the O-line, I'm assuming that means that someone on staff is ready for a promotion, and I think that's probably going to be Grubb.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, we don't really need Utah State coordinators. I guess we briefly mentioned that. Sanford's been around. He'll be. I think that's a pretty good move for them.
I think so.
Mike Sanford, for those who don't know, was at Boise State. Was at Stanford recently. Was he at Notre Dame for like a year or two? Yeah, and then the head coach of Western Kentucky for a while. So he's fine. He's recruited out here. He's a pretty good recruiter as well. So that'll help Utah State because, like you said, getting players to Wyoming is tough because they probably have one FBS athlete in state per year. Utah State has a few more, but still not amazing. Still gonna recruit California like Utah State does and Texas and other places. So offense will be fine. Justin Enya comes from Utah, who was with Anderson. They're coaching linebackers, and if you've seen Utah football play, they have guy Chase Hansen pretty good. They have a lot of always have a really good defense. So that's a fine move in. And I think those were pretty good hires for them to get guys who you know and know the area. Because that's a big deal. If you know the area and you can beat out other schools in the state, that's fine. That's or not fine, that's really good. It's what you want to do.
Yeah, definitely agree.
All right, we need to go off topic here, Matt.
Okay.
Have you been paying? I know you and I don't really pay attention to a First Take ever because it's stupid. Do we need to bring up Derek Carr?
I guess we can, yeah.
What's the deal with that? He, for those who don't know, apparently got pissy with Max Kellerman and wants to fight him.
It was something about challenging his heart. And the only thing I could think is, like, among other things, in the last couple of years, Derek Carr played with a broken back.
Yeah.
So how is anybody going to challenge his toughness? Or his heart, or his willingness to go out there and put everything on the line. Like, I'm not even a Raiders fan,
Yeah.
but it's the whole thing strikes me as slightly ridiculous because it's First Take.
Yeah, because it's over the top and always ridiculous. That's why I rarely mention it. But it's also when he broke his back, wasn't it the same year he's basically an MVP candidate?
He was in that conversation, yeah. And also he's dealing with a team that's led by Jon
Oh,
Gruden.
John Gruden,
Can we just throw that out there? Because it's not like he's working with the Bill Belichick out there.
let's
It's
see.
not like he's working with an Andy Reid. I think he's kind of fighting against limitations that a lot of other quarterbacks in the NFL are probably dealing with. It's just, man, I don't know.
Let's see. Let's start the way. Let's trade Khalil Mack for a first round pick or multiple whatever. Traded him away. Complains doesn't have a pass rush. Okay, can't pass the ball. Let's trade Amari Cooper to the Cowboys to get a first round pick. Great. He does great in Dallas. Mack does great in Chicago. Let's not play our best defender for half the year because shrug emoji. Let's bring in Mike Mayock to run the be a phantom GM because Gruden does it all. Let's do all this, this, and this, and he can't coach. It seems like he's ridiculous and wants to control everything and has no clue what he's doing in the NFL. He's like, I'll take a short quarterback. It doesn't matter. I'll do this. It's like, not the height matters for the Kyle Murray stuff, but he's just been a joke ever since he's been back in the league. And Derek Carr is also a guy who played, like you mentioned, plays well, played a broken back, doing what he can. And then also CJ Anderson got cut and look what he almost he's in this freaking Super Bowl and led the Rams to do pretty good things the past month. And so I'm like, what are you doing? He has no clue what he's doing there, playing for a dysfunctional organization who, by the way, don't know where they're playing in 2019. They could be playing in, well, actually I know nine locations, all the road games in London. It's to fight him. It's like it's funny. It's like let me fight you because whatever. Then Stephen A. gets involved. He's like, let me make up some fake controversy. North Carolina high school football. Get over yourself.
Like, can we get Carr some stability before we start making these decisions? Like, how many offensive coordinators has he had in his time in Oakland? Because I'm pretty sure it's like three or four at this point.
It's a couple, and their point. I think part of the point was like a legitimate, I guess, quasi-legitimate point, is that Gruden didn't draft him. And part of the conversation started was maybe the Raiders need to look at another quarterback or for the future get a quarterback, which is not a far-flung thing to say just because he didn't draft you, new GM, new coach, new everything. He's reasonably cheap to cut if they want to cut him. And so it's a conversation that's probably worth having, but not like overly serious unless you take a guy like a fourth, third, or fourth round guy to have a backup and maybe he turns into something. But if they're going to waste one of their three first round picks on like Kyle Murray, good luck. Raiders are going to suck forever. So I thought that was just overly dumb and stupid and fun to talk about because why not? Oh,
Yeah, that kind of
also.
stuff just makes me irritated. Like, every time I see Stephen A. Smith say something really stupid, I think about this link that I didn't read it, but it was like from a month or two ago from Robbie Callen. I forget where he posted it, where he called Stephen A. Smith the king of sports media.
You mean the.
And every time I see Stephen A. Smith say something like, "Oh, Hunter Henry's going to make a really big difference in this Chargers game,"
Or Kareem Hunt's going to play this weekend?
or "Kareem Hunt's going to play this weekend," like I just put my head in my hands and I'm like, "Who thought that that was a good idea? Why does anybody take this guy seriously?"
I used to like him about a decade ago, but he's changed quite a bit to be terrible.
And the
Like.
only good thing about Stephen A. Smith is that one joke tweet about him and Skip Bayless.
Not the PF Chang's tweet.
No, it's the Holocaust tweet.
I don't recall. What is it?
So like the just a conversation between Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless where he's like, you know, I'm sensitive to the Holocaust. And Skip is like, yeah. And he says, but
Oh, no, end it there. No,
and
but.
that's the joke. That's the Twitter joke. I
Jeez.
can't believe you don't know that one.
I don't know that one, apparently. See, I stay far away from these guys.
That's just like that's the entire Stephen A. Smith ethos right there.
I don't care. He's worked his way to get where he's at, which is great and fine, but you can't, like, a mis. Like, I know somebody told him, because I do radio stuff, I'm like, hey, you messed up, or hey, this guy's not playing. I'll whisper that to the guy's ear or something, like, if you slip up, or, because those things can happen, like, oh, sorry, Hunter Hunter's not playing. I was just kind of going off on a rant or just kind of stream of consciousness, like mention guy A, B, or C. That can happen. That's not an overly thing, but to never acknowledge or mention, like, oh, sorry, Hunter, like he's not playing, and especially for his radio show where there's plenty of time to do that, it's like, come on, whatever. And also, I forget where it's at, but there are odds placed on it too for the fight.
Oh God! I think it was Bovada. I saw that,
Because.
and people were wondering why Derek Carr was -110.
Yeah. It's funny because of Bovada, I get all those emails as well for like, hey, here's the college football Heisman or just all the odds that people post. In their email, hey, reply back and we'll give you odds on something if you'd like.
Huh.
And so I was looking at one play, I forgot what it was during the college football season about something, but I'm like, ah, it's not worth it. But they'll email you back, like, hey, I want odds on Fresno State to win the college football playoff. They will send me back odds on that if they're not listed.
Interesting.
And so maybe we should have some fun with that this off season or
We should.
whenever
I
those
think we
come out.
definitely should.
I do have one good idea. I'll pitch it out to you, see if you like it. So it'll be fun. Either a new podcast series coming up. Did you know? I'm sure everybody's familiar with the website Yelp, which I only use if I'm out of town to find stuff, not really to use the reviews. But apparently, there's reviews of like every university. Maybe we should have some fun with that and see what people review about the schools.
Maybe we should.
That could be somewhat entertaining if we do it right.
I don't see why not.
It's off season, right? And
That's true. We gotta fill airtime somehow.
especially since basketball is going to be done, we will have our really quick top 20 or top no, sorry, not top 20, but top 50 all time, 20 years Mountain West. We're rolling that out too. We're gonna do some podcast stuff for that. Have you you've been working on your Fresno State this week, right? You looked at it a little bit.
Yes.
Have you looked at my list so far, what I kind of had up there?
I have not.
Okay. We'll get to that later then. We'll have some random podcasts going over these, but look for Fresno State this week. I know I'm behind. Everybody who on our website who I promise these things, my scheduling is terrible apparently and stuff.
I forgive you. We've got 11 whole months to do this.
We do. I kind of want to do every day do one, but I'll pin it to the homepage. We got the MW at 20. So we got like three teams out. Well, I need to do, to be honest, a couple of week. And we'll have counter pieces, add-on pieces to all these top 20, not top 20, geez, all-time 20 team. We are going to do, you brought up good idea. Are we going to do a top 50 player list of all time as well?
We absolutely are. I'm working on building the list right now.
Excellent. In addition to that, we're also doing a four deep all-conference team, all-time team.
There you go.
Can we give a tease and just say who number one is? Right now, we're not. No, we have some good ideas of who's gonna be where. We're also gonna mix in. We're gonna do some sort of bracket, maybe, what, top 32 teams, something like
Yeah, I
that.
think so.
We'll go off like if you want to cover champion or in, and then pick some better teams off like, I guess Sagarin is the best ranking system that's been around the longest, so we'll probably go with them.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
All right, are we ready for the big time?
Let's do it.
All right, let me get a good pause marker here, just a moment. All right, thanks for listening to whatever I just played there. So, preseason predictions gone wrong. Oh boy, this is gonna be embarrassing.
Maybe for you.
Excuse me?
I mean, I'm okay. I feel no shame at being wrong. If it happens to everybody.
No, it does. No, I'm just messing around. We know how to. So, should we start with our? What should we start with? Order of finish, I guess that's the easiest one to go through.
Yeah.
So here I couldn't find mine, so hopefully I'm right on these. I do basically remember because I kept looking through my Google Docs. I'm like, I know I wrote them down because we talked about in our preseason podcast about because you were more organized than I was, obviously, which you typically are. About hey, here's my number 10 team, my number 9 team. Let's start as a staff, Matt. So I have it here. This was done July 23rd, 2018, days before Media Day 2018. West Division. Our staff went San Diego State, Fresno State, UNLV, Nevada, Hawaii, San Jose State. Not exactly how it finished.
Not quite, no.
It ended up being obviously Fresno State, Who's number two? Shoot, I don't have that up. Oh, crap.
It was Hawaii.
It was Hawaii. That's right. Sorry, I meant to have my standings right here. So it was Hawaii 2. Then it was... Oh, I'm so unorganized today. I apologize. Who was number
Nevada.
Three?
It was Nevada.
Not Nevada?
Yeah.
Also, did you see AP Style book weigh in?
I did. About what?
If it's Nevada, Reno, UNR, Nevada, it is Nevada.
Oh yeah, I did see that. If you're talking about the academic institution, then it's UNR. But if you're referring to the teams, then it's Nevada.
Exactly.
I thought that was common knowledge already.
No, people argue about UNR and Nevada all the time.
I'm pretty sure when you say people argue, it's mostly just UNLV fans trying to get under everybody else's skin.
And maybe Raj a little bit, some Boise fans.
Yeah.
And that being then Hawaii, San Diego State, UNLV, San Jose State. So we were, our most wrong pick was Hawaii by far.
Definitely.
I think, I think I remember I put Hawaii last. Didn't I put them like 0-12? I mean, not 0-12, but winless in conference. Wasn't that one of my bold, dumb picks?
I think so.
Because you had, yeah, if yours are in front of you, you had San Jose State 6, right?
No, I had San Jose State beating Hawaii, actually.
Oh, no, it was you then, right? Who had them last?
Yes, I did.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I had Hawaii at 2-11 and winless in conference play. It just and if I remember correctly, it's mostly because I thought that the offense was going to be a little bit erratic off and on. Like, it would be exciting, but maybe turnover prone and things like that. And obviously, they came firing out of the gates and made that. They pretty much obliterated that prediction by the end of September.
Well, I remember you saying they may not win a lot of games, but they'll sure as heck be interesting.
Yes.
And you're right on both fronts, right?
Well, they did win a lot of games, though.
And they're interesting.
That's true.
I'm saying, I'm still trying to find my list. I know I have my list somewhere, because I do remember now I made a Google Doc about who did what. Oh, here it's we okay. go. I found the idea. Okay, I found this here, my 2018 big podcast preview. I'll go off of this, I guess.
Okay.
Let's just go. Let's do this now since I have it in front of me. I have yours too here, Matt, so it'll be great. It'll be easy. My biggest disappointment in 2018 came to fruition. Hawaii did not bring back the rainbow uniforms.
Oh, that's true. They did not. They still need to do that.
They need to be a regular. I do like the new helmet they have with the Hawaii Island on one side. Those are nice. Your biggest disappointment, Wyoming.
Yeah.
Sort of, right?
Sort of. I mean, I think among all the teams, oddly enough, we're talking about misses, but I think Wyoming might be the one team that I nailed pretty much exactly. Because I had them 6-6 and 4-4 in conference play, and that's exactly what they did.
You know what else you're spot on? Fresno State over Boise State.
Yeah, but I also had them going undefeated as well.
Well, hey, that's...
So if we're counting misses, then I got to own up to that.
No, the official title, Mountain West title game participant and winner.
Oh, that's true.
I was the opposite. I picked Boise over Fresno. Close enough, right?
Yeah, well, I'll allow it.
Want to hear our dark horse title games?
Let's see. I remember I picked UNLV.
They were in there, yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't remember what I said. I think did I say Colorado State?
No, we were actually close on this. You had Utah State over UNLV.
Okay.
I had Utah State. So we're both pretty right on Utah State because they were close. I picked over Nevada.
Although, you know what? In retrospect, I remember thinking afterwards, why did I pick Utah State? Because I had Colorado State finishing second in the division. And just kidding.
All right, let's do the next one here really quick. Biggest surprise, you had Colorado State. Whoops. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They, what did they go, 3-9?
3-9.
All right, mine was Wyoming's offense will be significantly better without Josh Allen. Was it?
No.
No, it was not.
I mean, maybe that depends on how you look at it, because the running game did improve with Nico Evans. Mm-hmm. And once Sean Chambers was under center, especially, they were able to kind of get things going. But would it be fair to say everything else was pretty much a disaster?
Yeah, they did improve. They went from bottom to last in most categories to like 9th or 10th. So the key word there is significant.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a significant jump.
No.
All right. Bob Davie did not get fired. Still weird that didn't happen. That's all I got for those. That's pretty good. That's your bowl predictions. Okay, that's not too bad. We're okay, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I guess the picking the mountain division is pretty simple too, right?
Was it though?
Well, here's what we picked: Boise, CSU, Utah State, which were very close. Wyoming was actually within 7 points of Colorado State and two behind Utah State. Mm-hmm. Then Air Force and New Mexico.
So we were all a little bit higher on the Rams than most.
Yeah, but then when Mike Bobo does his quarterback conundrum, running game is non-existent, that kind of muffed a few things up for us to say, hey, they're going to be this. And they were not.
Well, that and the defense also did not improve at all.
Oh, yeah. Defense was just terrible.
Yeah.
And it ended up being, really quick, if you forget already, Boise, Utah State, Wyoming, Air Force, CSU, New Mexico. So we got New Mexico and Boise, right? There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Player of the Year stuff. Brett Rypien won Player of the Year, correct?
He did.
That's who we picked as well.
Mm-hmm.
Armani Rogers and Lexington Thomas were in the mix as part of our staff picks.
Well, I mean, Lexington Thomas wasn't a bad choice for most of the year.
Especially after head coach Tony Sanchez said, how about you try harder?
Yeah, pretty much.
That was a little awkward. Rogers being hurt, that's kind of a wash. Juwan Washington, same thing. McMarion was fairly close, but not quite there. Defensive Player of the Year, we had Andrew Wingard as our staff projected. Who? Uh-huh. I should have that list in front of me. Who won Player of the Year?
Defensive Player of the Year was Jeffrey Allison.
That's right, Jeffrey Allison. So he was one of our projections here. We also had Curtis Weaver, Boise State, Carl Granderson, and Johanna Goffin. I got it right that time. It's right in front of me.
Guy Fan,
sure. So we're close enough, right?
We were in the conversation, yeah. We knew where the conversation was leading.
Yeah. Special teams player, we whiffed on all that. Juwan Washington, Avery Williams, Dominic Ebery from Utah State. But who cares about special teams? I guess unless you're Scavon Starver, who's All-American, kick return of the ball. That's pretty good.
I was about to say Utah State fans might want to have a word with you on that.
I'm kidding. So what was your you have your win-loss projections. Was your worst one the Hawaii one?
No. Well, I guess, let's see. Hawaii won, what, 7 games this year?
They went to a bowl game and ended up being, 8-6 because they beat San Diego State.
Oh, right. Okay, so I was off by 6 wins there. But I was also off by 6 wins on Colorado State as well.
The opposite way?
Yeah, so there's a tie both ways.
That's not bad. If I recall, I had Hawaii doing awful. So mine was terrible. I still never found my list here. I keep looking for it. It's my Google Doc is so unorganized, my Google Drive. There's no point in me even looking anymore during this show. I just kind of remember a few things here and there.
Yeah, it happens.
But during the year, I think the only teams we really kind of whiffed on were kind of unknowns. Like Hawaii, who knew they would be that good under a new offense? We knew they had John Ursura back to the pass catching the ball. Who knew Cole McDonald would be that amazing halfway through the year with 20-plus touchdowns through 5 or 6 games?
Mm-hmm.
That type of stuff nobody saw coming. Utah State, we weren't sure because they brought in JUCO guys, and they've lost so many one-possession games, and they just blew everybody out. And that, I would say Utah State was a bigger surprise than Hawaii this year.
I mean, I don't know that I would necessarily agree, because I think the question surrounding Utah State heading into last year was, we knew they were going to make a jump, but the biggest question was, how much of a jump were they going to make?
True, but winning by scoring how many times? 40-plus, 50 points?
So I'm just saying, I think we underestimated them in a different way than we underestimated Hawaii.
True, yeah, because I figured Utah State, we had them, second or third, which means about 8 wins.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you're right. I guess that's a better way to put it, different ways. Hawaii came out of nowhere for the wins. Utah State came out of nowhere. It's like, this is the best offense they've had ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it led to them winning. And also, again, the schedule wasn't great for Utah State. It was back-ended where they ended up losing to Boise, a close one. But then they beat North Texas pretty easily. They hung with Michigan State week one. Those are the two teams we're wrong on the most. I guess for improvement wise, and CSU up there as well, because we figured running game is going to be good, quarterback's going to be fine. We didn't know what Preston Williams would do, and he came out to be the best receiver in the conference, essentially, right up there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just that freaking defense is just awful.
Yep.
San Diego State's hard to go by because injuries kind of derailed their season a bit. And so it's kind of we were wrong on them, but it's kind of hard to be right or wrong, I guess, or sorry, right, if you lose two offensive linemen, quarterback, best running back, preseason, probably top three player. And
Yeah, the defense stayed fine. The offense kind of fell off a cliff once its best player got hurt.
yeah, same with UNLV, because Ramoni Rogers, when he was out there, he made that big a difference with, like you mentioned many times, with what he could do with his legs to move the ball. And then they bring in the other quarterback, and it's like, well, that sucks. Thomas is doing nothing, and they just stumble to 4-8. All right. What else do we need to get to? Any other predictions that we have that you want to discuss that you got that you want to gloat about?
Not that I can recall, but I think we were considering talking about our top 50, revisiting that.
That's right. I almost forgot about that. So we do our top 50 every year, which I hope people enjoy because it takes a lot of time. And we will do, I guess you already threw it out there, top 50 all time. That'll be an interesting list to go through. I'll tell you this. You want to know who my favorite Mountain West player ever is to watch?
Who's that?
Eric Weddle.
No, I could see that.
University of Utah guy, so whatever you could say, bias. But quarterback, he played quarterback. When Utah had no quarterback, he would return kicks, he'd intercept the ball, and he played basketball for a couple years on the team. So there's that. He's similar, like, think like Brian Urlacher did for the not Bears, excuse me, Lobos. Same thing, kick return, punt return, kind of played linebacker, safety. They did all sorts of things. He's just a fun player to watch. So we'll get to that later. But top 50. Here's where we miss big, the most biggest, or that's not a word, the most, the biggest miss. There we go. Let me get my words out. It's probably the Utah State transfers, JUCO transfers.
So
Because
which one would you say is the biggest one?
I'm looking at this right now, I'm double checking Utah State. Probably from the transfers, Utah State in general.
Well, maybe we can answer that as a two-parter question.
I would say, because I'm looking at our top, I need to open both tabs. I only got one tab up, but because we have a two pager here. Top 25, we had, oh shoot, I need to read it before. We had no Utah State player. We had one Utah State player in top 25. No, excuse me, two. We had Dax Raymond, who was at the Senior Bowl this week, doing pretty good. He was our highest Aggie player. And then we had Quinn Ficklin, the center, as number 23. I'm assuming we had no Darwin Thompson,
We did not.
no Tippa.
We did not.
Probably not Jordan Love either.
No, we did not.
No Jordan Love. No Rontavian Carver. Those are the only two Utah State players we had in the list. No, yes, so no Gerald Bright. Again, it's hard. Like, you could say, oh, you know nothing, but who's gonna really put a JUCO guy on there? It's kind of hard to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing this going back to the old sites for at least 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah.
And the one thing I've come to understand is like it's very hard to project, or people maybe are reticent to put players out there who haven't had a past history of production. So like when you look at someone like Darwin Thompson, who in retrospect he's very obviously one of the best players in the conference,
Yeah.
but he didn't play for Utah State before this year.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say, or it's hard for people to
Or
put
Preston
out
Williams, same thing.
to generate a consensus to be like, yeah, this guy's going to be a top 50 player when he hasn't been in the Mountain West before that. And I remember, like, for me, the personal example is KJ Carter-Samuels, even though he didn't make the top 50, obviously. But I remember thinking before the season started, like, I thought he would be a pretty good quarterback. And while maybe he didn't live up to be exactly the kind of productive quarterback I thought he would be, I still thought he was fine, if not necessarily top 50.
He
But
was.
that's kind of emblematic of how, when we're putting this list together as individuals, I think most of us think of it in those terms as like, what have you done in the past versus like trying to project forward among people who haven't been in the conference in the past.
So, really quick, yeah, Utah State. Here's the honorable mentions. Roman Andrus, Dominic Ellbery, the kicker, Gage Ferguson, Jamarcus Ingram, Jordan Love, Ronquavion Tarver, and Christopher Unga. Sorry.
And
Excuse me, Unga.
I'm pretty sure that Logan was the guy who voted for all of those guys in his top 50.
No, I can look it up. I honestly think I put Jordan Love, I think, possibly in mine, maybe.
It might be, but I distinctly remember Logan putting a slew of Utah State players in his, and in retrospect, he was spot on.
It's
Although I noticed David Woodward
yeah.
is not in that list.
No, see? And
So
that's
maybe if we're looking for one substantial miss from the Aggies, it's probably him, right?
Well, I would say three. Well, I guess overall, because Love is on honorable mention, but no Tippa or Darwin Thompson or Gerald Bright. Mm-hmm. I don't think Bright would be on there, but Darwin Thompson for sure. Because didn't he end up making second team all conference?
I believe so, yeah.
So there's it's hard to go, like, it's difficult. And that's part of it, too. Yeah, SLU of Utah State, guys. That's why we have every team covered but Air Force at the moment. Where, yeah, if there's an extra Utah State guy or an extra San Jose State guy, it'd be as well. Like, we had, oh, that's Bryson Bridges there. Do we have Boogie Roberts in our top 50 anywhere?
I don't believe so, no.
He ended up being on our first team all conference.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at the Tropical or Tropicana Bowl a couple weeks ago trying to get the NFL. So it's just tough. It's like, that's why, again, we have all these guys, different teams. So that's why it helps even out. It's like, and we look at each other's list a little bit. Like, oh, maybe I missed this guy because we have a huge spreadsheet. Everybody drops their names in there. I may look at Matt's list like, oh, do I have this guy underrated or overrated? Or I look at somebody else's list, our other guys who do Nevada, Hawaii. I'm like, oh, why do they have this guy at number 27 for Hawaii, and I don't have him ranked for them? I'm missing something. And so it's a good bout back and forth. But going through, like, who other players, like, here's our top. Should we do a top five real quick?
Yeah.
Tabs. Top five. Brett Rypien, spot on. Lexington Thomas, number two. Probably not. No, definitely not. Then we had Carl Granderson, three. Andrew Wingard, four. Keyshawn Johnson, five.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe we overrated Thomas a little bit based off of his 2017. But, I mean, that had been his second straight year of being really productive in that UNLV offense. So it's not like the case wasn't justified at the time. It's just he came back down to earth a little bit in 2018.
So out of those top five, who would be your new I'll answer the same thing. I'll put it in spot. Who would be your top five at end of the year if we did this now?
Well, I mean, I think we had a consensus of Brett Rypien as being at number one, which he also was in 2017 as well.
Yeah. No, I think I put Lexington Thomas number one, I believe. But it was pretty close.
Yeah, I was, but I think as a group, we put Rippert at number one. Yeah. And I think that we were definitely right about that. Does it have to be in order?
No, just name like who's five guys. Like, I would probably put Rippin, I think, would be a clear number one. You could consider guys like Preston Williams, who amazingly of what he did for Colorado State. You could put Jeff Allison for Defensive Player of the Year. You could put, there's a handful, plenty of guys out there, like Jordan Love. Obviously, be in that top five mix. Who else would I stick in there? I don't want to just name offense because everybody knows I only like offense, Matt.
Okay, so I think if I had to put a top five in no particular order, it would be Rypien, Keyshawn Johnson, Ezra Cleveland, David Woodward, Jeffrey Allison.
That's a good mix, yeah. Not John Ursua?
No, I think he would probably be, like, if we're talking in basketball terms, for instance, among the first four out.
Yeah.
I would also have Malik Reed in that same situation, where if somebody wanted to talk me into him, I could definitely be talked into that.
Tyler Horton's pretty dynamic, but missed a couple games.
Yeah.
I'm looking at our list. Like, I think our list is pretty good. Like, the only, obviously, the big miss, like you said, the JUCO guys and Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. Like, here's our biggest miss, I would say. John Ursula at 20 is probably a bit too low.
Probably.
Alexander Madison, 16. Maybe a tad. I'm trying to see who else here who would be on. Ty Gainsey at 21, probably too high. Izzy Matthews, way too high. Where would you put Marcus McMarion? We had him at 24 preseason.
If I remember correctly, I had him higher than just about everybody else.
I think I had him top 10.
I don't know if I had him top 10, but I think I had him at least in the top 20.
Would you say still that's where he ended up? Or preseason-wise, that's good?
Well, I mean, I can't remember if I mentioned it before, but I voted for him in our postseason all-conference team, first team.
That's right. So you're pretty high on him. So you would like him higher. That's what we're getting at.
I mean, I had no problem with where he ended up before the season. But, yeah, I was bullish on his chances to be an all-conference type of impact player.
Oh, you want to know it? Okay, I found our top 50 list. You want to know who I put number one?
Who's that?
Andrew Wingard.
No, that checks out.
So did you. Just saying.
Yeah. Great minds think alike.
Yes. I said you had Curtis Weaver up there. You had Brett Rypien number three. Not too bad. I'm just looking at a couple of lists here. I had Keyshawn Johnson 10. I'm trying to see where you put McMarion. You had McMarion Oh, not as high as you thought. Hold on. Let me do a good old
command, did I not?
Command F here.
Yeah.
Well, we're about to get blown up.
Nah, it's
fine. I'm kidding. Top. Wait, oh, wait. Wait, McMurray. Wait. I had. No, you. Sorry, Matt. You had him at 31.
Oh, did I?
I was the high.
I recant my previous statement.
I was the second highest of Marcus McMurray. Irwin put him at number 12.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just looking at a couple of those lists. No, I'm not going to go through that list right now. It's too much. But I think overall we did not too bad, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, if we're looking through here, like, yeah, I guess Izzy Matthews is a bit, like I mentioned before, 22, big miss. One big miss is San Diego State. Oh, what's his? I can never say his name right. Tenzo?
Kaiba Tizino.
Kaiba Tizino. Yeah, there we go. I don't think he made our list at all. I'm double checking.
He did not.
Whew, that was a big miss there.
Yeah.
Do we not also have No Hughes, Juju Hughes on here?
I think I put him on there, did I not?
I'm just going over real quick a check-in.
I had Juju Hughes in the top 15.
Okay. He's not on our top 50 list, unless he's on top 25. This is so entertaining. I love it going through a list and telling everybody about it.
This is riveting stuff. No, actually, he was in our top 50. He was number 42.
Oh, okay. I was just about to scroll up there, 42. Okay.
Although I think I was making the Juju argument silently, like, because and I was thinking about Pro Football Focus in particular, mm-hmm. how last year he was the top graded returning starter on both sides of the ball for the Bulldogs. And after 2018, now all of a sudden he is still the top returning defender. And I think he was even better this year than he was last year. So maybe this is an early spoiler alert, but I'm guessing when we put together our list for 2019, he's going to be a lot higher this time around.
Juju Hughes?
Yeah.
Did we not have an Air Force player on our list at all?
Nope.
Whew. That'll change next year. Because
that's true.
Donald Hammond III.
No. You know who's going to make the list next year, or at least who better make the list next year is Jordan Jackson.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, I just again remember I'm only offense. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Plus, I knew there's defender, but Donald Hammond is the first name that came to me. So if we're gonna, how much time we got here? We're gonna wrap up soon. We got about 10. Well, if we go an hour, we may not reach an hour today, which is fine. It's off season. You get what you get. 45 minutes about is what we're gonna aim for. So if we had a quick. You mentioned Jackson. You mentioned Mike or Hughes. Who would be like your super early? I'm gonna put this guy near the top of my list. Is it Jordan Love? Pretty simple answer. He's one of the guys I'd probably put pretty high.
I mean, he's definitely one of those guys who's gonna make the leap from being relatively unknown to being top 10 or 12 list at a minimum.
Maybe top 5. I don't know. Maybe for me. Like, who's back? Like, in the top, like, Juwan Washington's back. He's the highest rate. Is Lexington Thomas back? Is he coming back this year?
No, he's gone.
Oh, that's right. He's gone. So the top returning player from our preseason list is Juwan Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll probably be up there. Armani Rogers, I assume, would be high. Fresno's running back, whoever's back there toting the ball, will be up there pretty good. Cole McDonald. Well, I don't know about – no, maybe not Cole McDonald. Cedric Byrd, perhaps.
I mean, I think that there's a few different guys that I would consider ranking pretty highly based off of what I think they can do. Like one guy, for instance, John Hightower, mm-hmm. Boise State, just because, you know, even if he wasn't 100% healthy the entire year,
he made plays.
I saw enough from him to think, like, if he's 100% and he's their number one guy for whoever's under center for them, he's going to make a huge impact.
I think so, too, especially if he gets to healthy and plays more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would say whoever's a Hawaii quarterback, if we know that, if it's McDonald or Cordero,
mm-hmm.
behind the list. I'm trying to bounce around the league real quick. I already mentioned Rodgers. Nevada, now they lost McLean Mannix.
I mean, one guy I'm very interested to see how people measure him is Dom Peterson.
Mm. Yes,
the defensive tackle.
Made our All-Bowl team.
He did. And he was very quietly one of the better freshmen in the conference last year.
Yeah, was he a true freshman, a redshirt freshman, I believe?
I believe he was, yeah.
So there's plenty of guys. We'll go. We're shooting off the hip here, so we're probably missing 10 guys. I guess we could say, Colin Hill, possibly.
Can I throw Sean Chambers in there, too?
Of course, why not? Who's the... did Mike Bell declare for the draft for Fresno, correct?
Yes, he did.
So he's – okay. we'll talk about this later. I don't want to just random throw off names because I'm going to forget somebody, which I already probably have.
Okay, well, if I'm going to throw a Fresno State name out there, I'm going to throw out Ronnie Rivers.
Yeah, look at that bowl game, man, versus Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
Almost had the extra touchdown, man. Whew. What do you have, 230 all-purpose yards?
Something like that, yeah.
200-plus. So we'll get this list going. But in the meantime, shoot us up on Twitter, MWC Wire. Let us know. Go to our Facebook page. Leave us a message there. I think we have our messages open on Messenger. So let us know what you want to talk about because it's long off season. We can't just do streaming talk every time we do once a year, which we probably will do because there's a million ways to watch football now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess our plan was to – no, here's our plan. We're going to do – we already put out our super early bowl projections, which I mostly did myself but went off also our staff's early picks. Should we should go to those and make our stupid early predictions for 2019.
Let's do it.
That's what we'll do. And the plan is going forward, I'm assuming, if our schedules work, to post the show every Wednesday to complement basketball, which is probably Monday. So we'll have a show every Wednesday. And I'm still working on getting interviews and doing some sort of a, I don't know, documentary type series type deal for the MW20. So we'll see how that turns out, since I know a handful of people who might say, sure, I'll come chat with you for 20 minutes about whatever. So look for those down the road. And I will promise, I'll make a promise. You have to keep it, everybody has to keep it to me to do this. To post multiple things a week about the hashtag MW20. Can we get that hashtag rolling maybe somehow?
We'll work on it.
Is that a good one, MW20?
It's succinct. I think when you look it up, you'll know exactly what you're looking for. So, yeah.
All right, that's what we'll do. And so we'll see you next time. Again, MWR.com. And next time, folks.